for every shame and for every pain.
The passion to inform, educate, and entertain the public each and every day is a dream to every journalist across the world. Media industry is growing very fast, but media freedom is still controlled by the governments, hence limiting journalists to bring out to public wrongdoers from the governments to be held responsible. On average, every 4 days, a journalist is killed for bringing information to the public. Many people operating in the new media ecosystem, such as citizen journalists and bloggers, are experiencing growing harassment, in part due to their ambiguous status under national legislation. Women journalists and media personnel, especially those who are dealing with sensitive stories like crimes and investigative stories, have also been increasingly exposed to violence, intimidation, threats and killings worldwide. In Kenya, despite Media Council coming up with guidelines demanding media freedom and rights of journalists be protected, this is still a riddle. Kenyan journalists face harassments, threats, and killings when trying to bring to public stories that involves prominent people and even security officers who defies laws. Mercy Kahenda, a journalist working for Standard Media Group in Kenya, was forced to drop crime and investigative reporting to health and science reporting following day-to-day threats she received from unknown people whenever she bring to public stories that touches government officers and security agencies.
Not once, not twice, I could brush shoulders with the police officers who are majorly at the center of several crimes reported. Like, you could find police officers working close with criminals, and this police could easily forgive criminals who get back to the society and they harm people. If I do remember, one of the instances was a scene where a police officer was owning property, but we had lots of feelings regarding property ownership. And the person allegedly linked to those scenes, to those crime, was police officer. So while reporting on this police, it was the detectives, and one of the detectives warned me against reporting on this. And there are several times I received threats while in my house. People could ask me, "Well, we can come fetch you from your house. You think you are hiding from us? You know these crimes are putting us in a bad limelight." So at times I got lots of threats from these police security agents. And not forgetting some of the issues I did cover was about Solai. Solai is one of the issues that were surrounding compensation. It almost put me into a death trap.
Ms. Kahenda said her passion was seeing the public getting justice.
I was a crime and investigative reporter, a role I played for over 5 years. And simply because where I developed interest in crime and investigative reporting is because I have passion. I like seeing people get justice within the community. There is lots of cases that do happen in the community, but because those people don't have a voice to speak, I thought I could be a voice of ensuring these people, ranging from various groups, this includes children, the youth, adults, and also the elderly, they get justice within the community. And crime and investigative reporter, not any journalist can do report on crime and investigation. It needs someone who's dedicated. You have to get interest to understand various aspects happening in the community, understand various aspects that do contribute to crime, and also those people who are majorly involved in crime reporting. And unlike other segments within the newsroom, crime reporting needs also someone is courageous.
She affirmed mental health to be a challenge to female journalists reporting for crime and investigative stories.
One of the major challenges that do affect crime and investigating reporters or journalists is a challenge to do with mental health. Lots of journalists reporting on crime investigation, they have these kind of crime-related issues sticking into their head. You go to crime scene where investigation is happening. You found girls they've been defiled by the perpetrators who've not even been prosecuted. Some of them have been released. You get to this crime scene of bodies being counted. When you get back to your house, these issues drown on you because you are a human. You've seen people killed innocently, but now because you don't have a solution to these kind of problems, you are meeting people with lots of problems, but now you can't solve them. What happens? You carry this kind of image with you wherever you walk. You are with this kind of frustrations. You feel for these individuals, yet you don't have instant solution to them. So crime reporting majorly affects someone's mental health. If I give an example of myself, I could report these crime scenes of people being harassed by the police officers, people being killed, and now you go back to your house, you are mentally disturbed. You've been reporting about road accidents, people being killed within these road accidents, but now it reaches a point whereby even crossing the road as a human, you can't cross the road because you have the fear within you.
The health and science reporter is urging media houses to partner with development partners and introduce trauma healing sessions within the newsroom.
As media industry, they should think of coming up with a way of ensuring these journalists go through counseling, guiding and counseling. Because images that do happen now will follow someone for five forever until you die. Because even if you age, you'll grow up with these images, you'll just remember what you covered in relation to this crime and investigating reporting. So just having that kind of counseling guidance session where journalists can debrief, they can debrief or rather share among themselves what's happening and link them to various counselors who can guide and ensuring they have alternatives of living, having undergone all these challenges in reporting, they still enjoy life and also have self-care for themselves. For instance, you'll get journalists who are not journalists, those people who report crime, most of them will go drinking alcohol, they'll go, lots of them, even women, will go consuming excess alcohol just because they don't have a better way of handling these challenges that keep on coming back to their mind.
She added that media houses should come up with amicable measures of protecting journalists working for crime and investigative stories.
Media has to find a way of protecting these journalists because we put our life out there. We get lots of threats and just reporting crime is we risk our lives because nobody wants to have their stories revealed whenever they commit various crimes. Be it criminals don't want crime to be known. So I trust with better cooperation, with better assistance from the newsroom, crime reporters and investigative reporters, they can get a better way of reporting and just having that support. Support I don't mean financially, but just develop a support system whereby these journalists can have a meeting once in a while, say monthly or after 2 months, after 3 months, just to recap on what has been happening, talk about it. That means someone really cares within newsroom.
Belinda Siago, Nation Media Group correspondent in Kenya, called upon Kenyan government to end impunity against journalists.
So I think for the government and media houses to protect crime and investigative female journalists, they should first provide safe houses for such journalists because of the sensitivity of the stories that they are working on. The second thing is that they should provide training for personal safety, whether online or offline, for these journalists, because sometimes you get that female journalists are usually targeted after doing maybe exposés or crime stories that touch on very maybe important people or criminals in the society. And also the other thing that the government should do is to end impunity against these journalists, because sometimes they're actually attacked and they're not, nothing is usually done, no punishment is seen. So these are the key things that should be done for the safety of the crime and investigative female journalists.
Lawrence Nganga, who was once assaulted by government officers in Kwale County, coastal region of Kenya, said there is need for Media Council of Kenya to sensitize communities and government officers on the importance of media freedom.
Some county officers have less knowledge on media roles because media has freedom of bringing out issues publicly. Their views where they feel their rights are violated, we are their voice. How can an officer tell me to ask for a permission whenever I'll be doing my stories? It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
On his side, Paul Wandera said media freedom and safety should start at the newsroom.
So I would say most of the freedom of the media, if it has to be achieved, is for the media houses to pay their journalists well. There are some who are paid well, but it's a very small number. So most of those other journalists, the correspondents, the reporters, who are not paid well. So they have given the freedom to some of those, their source of the news. I will say, when he gives you that money, he expects you to say what he or she has to say. So once he discovers that you don't have your freedom goes away. You cannot do your job. You cannot follow the ethics and the professional ethics that you have learned.
Chief Executive Officer for Media Council of Kenya, David Omoyo, said the council is collaborating with human rights organizations to ensure rights of journalists are protected.
The role of the media in both holding government to account but also communicating to Kenyans government policies and interventions to make sure that all is done well. And finally, to make sure that the Media Council, through the Media Complaints Commission, as the handler of complaints against the media or complaints against government or public against media, make sure that that role is done independently and judiciously and professionally, to ensure that the professionalism of the media, the independence of the media, but also the service, media service to the public, is upheld without threatening press freedom and without interfering with the safety and protection of journalists.
Principal Secretary in the State Department for Broadcasting and Telecommunication, Dr. Edward Kisiangani, said the government of Kenya is working hard in building good relationship with media houses so as to tackle challenges surrounding media industry in Kenya.
Sasa kazi yetu ni kujenga uhusiano.
Our mandate is building up good rapport between the government and media houses. This relationship will help us to tackle the challenges facing media houses. We understand as of now, the business format in many media houses is not pleasing and we can change it. We want media houses to last and prosper and create job opportunities because we want people to be employed. We don't have powers to fight with any media house. We want to work with people. Even the president doesn't want us to collide with anyone. So we want to work peacefully with media houses.
Ili tuweze kujenga nchi yetu.
The UN Plan of Action aims to create a free and safe environment for journalists and media workers, both in conflict and non-conflict situations, with a view to strengthening peace, democracy, and development worldwide. The plan includes measures such as the establishment of an interagency mechanism to strengthen the contribution of each UN actor and enhance UN-wide coherence cooperation with states to develop legislation and other mechanisms for safeguarding the freedom of expression and information, as well as the safety of journalists, and the establishment of partnership, awareness raising and fostering initiatives. This article is part of African Women in Media, UNESCO, Peace and Security for Women Journalism Programme.